Psalm 1. Psalm 1. The first psalm of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1. And you can stand together, not much to read, just we'll read these first six, or these only six verses here. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed, or blessed, however you want to say that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, whose delight, that blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Who? That blessed man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Right there, right off the bat, you see, there's a difference. There's a difference between the blessed man and the ungodly. They're not like that, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, I pray bless your word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, to help us, Father, to listen on purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'll try not to be long. I sat up here, and I all through Spanish church, I got to just go to church. That's a nice blessing once in a while. I just got to come to church. I got to sing, and I got to listen to the preaching, and I had to run the invitation, but Brother Julio preached for me, and I just got to go to church, and that's a blessing. if any of you ever get men, that is, God ever calls you to preach, and you start preaching full time, you'll know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I got to go to church, and I got to sit there, and I was praying and thinking, and then through the prayer meeting, I was thinking about, you know, I knew that it was cold outside and raining, and people are going to be distracted about, oh, when are we going to get out of here? What is the weather going to do? And then I began to realize, you know, God gave me this message for this hour, knowing exactly who was going to be here, knowing exactly what was going to be going on. And what I'm saying is sometimes you feel like maybe that's not what I should preach tonight because this, and that. But then you realize, wait a minute, God is God and I'm far from it. So we're going to preach tonight on Psalm chapter 1, just like God led me to do. And here we have a man who is promised in verse 3, at the end of that verse, is a phrase that has always drawn my attention, got my attention. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth, the blessed man, the blessed life, God promises whatever that man does is going to prosper. I'm talking to you today. I've been preaching to you on Sunday nights about the blessed life based on Acts 20:35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But God led me to this portion of Scripture for tonight, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with giving, but what it does have to do with, listen to me, it has to do with the reason that people don't give. It has to do with the reason that a lot of people never see the blessings. A lot of people never find that prosperous. Now, I'm not talking about simply financially prosperous. When God says, whatever that man doeth shall prosper, it means that it will be blessed. That God will bless it. That it will be fruitful. That it will give. That it will bear the fruit that God wants it to give. That man's life will be honored by God. That person's life will be honored by God. Some people, listen, it doesn't matter how long you preach or till you're blue in the face on giving, they just don't want to give. Now, you could try to find a reason, and there's no point in trying to find a reason outside of the Bible. There's always a reason in here. The answer, by the way, to any of your questions right here. Amen. The answer to any of your questions is right here in this book. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Know your Bible. Get along with God, and He'll lead you. You know, many times I'm just praying, and God just takes my thoughts over to this portion of Scripture. He just takes my thoughts over to this this chapter or to this book or to this verse. And listen, God lives in you. Amen. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Amen. God lives in you, and He leads you through His Holy Spirit to His Word to give you the answers that you need. Don't overcomplicate it, like I said this morning in Sunday school. Don't overcomplicate the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And I realize, as God led me over here, I was originally going to talk to the men yesterday morning about this blessed life and the blessed man. And I realized that that's not what it was. God wanted me to preach it tonight. So here we are, amen, and here we go. What I'm talking to you tonight about is the reason in my heart I always pray, God, why aren't people listening? Why aren't people growing? Why, God, my burden as a preacher, listen, is to get people saved, of course, but not just to stop there. That's not the stopping place. That's the starting line. Amen. That's not the finish line. That's the start line. And then from that point on, my prayer is not to just get people saved, but then to get them baptized and then to get them faithful, so that to see them grow, to see them become blessed, to see that they get to the point in their life where they're prospered by God. Because, listen, and that's God calls a man to preach. It may sound like I'm up here trying to beat people down, and that has nothing to do with it. God calls a man to preach because He sees in that man's heart a desire to help people. Amen. I mean, I don't do this for money. I don't do this for myself. I do this because God has helped me, and I want God to help you. Amen. So I pray many times, God, why aren't they getting it? And listen, some are and some aren't. But I thank God for the ones that are. I count my blessings. But as a preacher, I still pray, God, okay, search me. Help me understand, God. And then search, you know, my heart. Let's find out in the Bible maybe some reasons. And then let me help them understand what's keeping them from being blessed. And the fact is, right here in this little psalm, really just in the first three verses, we find out why so many people, so many Christians, never learn to give. They never are ever really blessed like God wants them to be. When it says, whatsoever He doeth shall prosper, that's an unlimited God. That's an almighty, all-powerful God. And He has everything you need, and He wants to give it to you, all of it. But He says, listen to me, but there are some conditions to that blessed life. And there are some conditions to receiving the blessings of God. And let's look at it another way. What I'm going to preach tonight is why some people never give what God expects and deserves. Why some people never learn to give. Now, it may be money, but it's not always money. It's just simply giving themselves. Just giving themselves to God. God, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to be, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do with my life, Lord, and my money, my home, my wife, my family, my heart, my feet, my eyes, my hands, my tongue, my lips. God, I give it all to you. That's giving. That's the giving we're talking about. When you learn to do that, money doesn't mean money's easy to give. Because you realize it's all God's anyway. But I want to preach to you tonight on why people don't ever learn to do that. Because in reality, they never learn to trust God. They never learn to trust God. And you miss out on the blessed life that God promises you can have. God promises we can have. And in these very few verses here tonight in the book of Psalm lies the answer to why people don't trust God. Why people don't ever give God all that they have, or they give it to Him and then they take it back. They give it to Him and then, okay, never mind. Or they give it to Him in word, but yet indeed it's a complete different story. You remember Martha and Mary when Jesus came to Bethany there, and Lazarus was sick. Yeah, he was even dead already for 4 days. And Jesus came, he said, your brother will rise again. She said, I know he'll rise in the last day. I know he'll rise at the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said, I'm not talking about next week. I am here. I am the resurrection. And he says, now, Martha, what I want you to do is move that stone. Well, Lord, wait a minute. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. He stinks. See, she said she believed. She said she knew that he was going to rise again. But yet when it came time to do something about it, when it came time to remove the stone, she said, wait a minute, now that he stinks. And Jesus says, did I not say unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He said you believed, but I told you if you would, but the proof of your belief is in what you do. And what I'm saying here is that the faith that we say we have, we give God things and we want to take it back. We give God money on 1 week, but then next week we keep it. And because we can't go back and, you know, go into the offering plate and say, preacher, give me that back. We can't do that, so next week we just don't give it. Or we may say we give God our life, but then next week something else comes along and it's more important than church. So we never learn to just really give God all and just be all sold out for God. That's what that's what God's people should be. They should be sold out, completely given to God. Everything, all that they have, everything that they are, everything that they could possibly just sell out. Instead, we sell out to the highest bidder. You know what I'm talking about? Whoever offers us the most. As if God doesn't have more. People don't learn to trust God. People don't trust God. Therefore, they don't receive the blessings. But this verse, this man here in these few verses is promised a blessing. Many, many blessings in everything that he touches. Kind of like Joseph. If you remember Joseph, those of you, I think your children have been studying about Joseph. You better remember, I'm going to quiz you. Okay, Joseph's life wasn't exactly what he drew it up to be, what he would have planned it to be. However, everything that he did prospered. Everything that he touched was blessed. And I'm not talking about he had a perfect job and he was living on in the palace and he had a boat and a plane and a couple Rolls Royces. He was in prison. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. He was in the pit that his brothers put him in there. But everywhere he went, God prospered that man. He was in the pit. God brought him out of the pit. Amen. He was in Potiphar's house. God gave him control of all of Potiphar's house. He was in prison and the prison keeper, before you know it, said, you know what? You take over here. You do better than I do. Everywhere he went, he was prospered. Not because he had a life of luxury, but simply because he learned to trust God. Amen. And he knew that God was not going to ever fail him. So he was sold out. It didn't matter the situation. All he cared about was, I know God is still real. I know I'm his child, and I'm going to trust him and give him everything I have. And God just kept on prospering Joseph until one day he brought him out of the prison to the palace. See, God has so much more in store for you than you can imagine. You've got to learn to trust him. You've got to learn to trust him. You've got to learn to trust him. The reason we don't trust God is right here in these few verses. People talk about blessings all the time, you know. You hear it all the time. Have a blessed day. I don't know that nothing wrong with saying that, but for some reason I just don't say it. I don't say it. It just sounds New Age liberal to me. You know, have a good day. What's wrong with that? God bless you. That's okay. I understand it. Or I'm too blessed to be depressed and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with all that. But everybody's talking about blessings. Amen. Everybody obviously would like to be blessed. If you're sitting here tonight and you would say, I don't want God to bless me, raise your hand. I do not want God to bless me. Go ahead. Be honest. Of course not. Everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to have that blessed life. But listen, God put some conditions on it here, and he's not forcing anybody to do anything, but you're going to have to learn his way to receive the blessings. You're going to have to walk down his path of righteousness. Many people are talking about blessings and how they're so blessed, and they could very well be, but listen, a discerning eye can look through the Bible goggles, so to speak, and see their lives are not blessed by God. And you'll understand what I'm saying here in a minute. All they're doing is talking about the carnal pleasures that they have in this life. They're talking about how they've been given prosperity and wealth and health and money, and they're calling that blessings of God. But according to this Bible, somebody would look at Joseph and say, well, that man is pitifully, God has completely forsaken him. But yet the Bible tells us that everything Joseph did was prosper. And in our passage of Scripture, here, listen to me, in our passage of Scripture, we see that what God says is a blessed life, not what the world says. Quite the contrary. Christians desire God's blessings, but we cannot expect God's blessing on us if we do not get these few verses under control. Quickly, God says He'll bless you. God says He'll bless you even more if you learn to give anything you have. Start with yourself. Start with your heart. My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. Remember, we preached on that not too long. What's that? That's giving. Man. Give God your heart and everything else will follow. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But God says He'll bless you. Most Christians, however, don't ever reach that blessing because they don't realize it. Or when they do realize it, they're not willing to do it. They have to make some changes in their lives. Getting saved is the starting line. That's what I told you a minute ago. Not the finish line. Amen. Blessings begin to... That, by the way, you're not going to get a bigger blessing than that. Being redeemed from all of your sin. Being forgiven. Being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Having all of your sins cleansed by the very blood of Christ Himself. He has washed us from our sins with His own blood. Amen. You're not going to get a bigger blessing than that.
Amen.
God says, I want to take the rest of your life, though, and bless it, and everything that you do prosper. But you're going to have to learn. Number one thing that keeps people from the blessings of God, listen to me, is this thing of separation. Separation. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Ungodly, sinners, and scornful. Those are not blessed people. Those are people that are of this world. Those are unsaved, ungodly, maybe even saved, ungodly, backslidden people. And God is telling us in verse 1, the very first step to being blessed is to separate yourself from that crowd. What God is saying here is that in order to receive the fullness of God's blessings and the prosperous life that you think you want to have, you're going to have to be conscientiously different. On purpose, different. If you think for 1 minute that you're going to go have a God-blessed life in this world and blend in with the world at the same time, you are fooling yourself. You are sorely mistaken. You are sadly mistaken. The blessed man starts off, first of all, first and foremost, from the very start, very first verse of the Psalms, is that man can be blessed, but he's got to be separated from the ungodly. Notice what it says. There's a progression here. First of all, it says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel, church, listen to me, is advice. Counsel is recommendation. Counsel is direction. Somebody giving you direction. If I got turned around out here, or say I was traveling to a new city, and I stopped and I asked directions, which, by the way, I don't ever do. Thank God for GPS. And by the way, I turn off that voice because I don't want no woman giving me directions. I'm sorry. Call it pride. Sure, maybe it is. Pray for me. But I can't stand asking directions. But if I just finally give in and ask directions... You know what I'm asking for? I'm asking for counsel. I'm asking for advice. This is how you get there. Now, that right there proves that, well, men anyway, we have a hard time with receiving counsel from some people. But what God is saying here, okay, is that we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked of this world, the unrighteous, the unsaved, or even the sinful living Christians. To walk in someone's counsel is to follow their advice. If I ask for directions and then they give me directions, then I have a choice. I either go where they tell me to go or I stay lost. Now, in the Bible, the church or the people of God have to understand that in order to get to the prosperous that God wants us to be, it starts up here with the separation. It starts with the separation. Listen, you say, well, I don't go to psychiatrists. I don't go to psychologists. I don't have anybody giving me advice. Now, wait a minute. This world is screaming their advice to you every single day. Every day, on every corner. Television. Television is advising you how to dress. Television is advising you how to talk. It's advising you what to wear. It's advising you how to act. It's advising you how to treat your parents. It's advising you how to raise your kids. Television is giving you counsel nonstop. Magazines, advertisements, newspapers, billboards. It's all counsel from the ungodly. Are you listening to me? Even radio. The songs, the stuff that you listen to, the music you listen to, they're promoting a fornication. They're promoting alcoholism. It's counsel. It's advice. What they're saying is, this is fun. This is good. Do this and you'll be happy. This is what you should do. Do this. Live like this. Dress this way. Look this way. Talk this way. They're giving you counsel everywhere you look. Television, radio, newspaper, commercials, radio, billboards, public school teachers, public school curriculum. Listen to me, church. It's giving your children advice. It's telling them what they should believe. Bless their hearts. They come to church, they hear one thing, and they go to school and they hear something else. Is that worth it? College professors standing up in, I would say pulpits, lecterns in college universities teaching, you name it, evolution, freedom of everything except for this book. Every time you see somebody walk by, the clothes they have on, that's counsel from this world. The fads. I'm talking about fashions. Have you noticed how everybody dresses the same stinking way? Why is that? Because they take the advice of everybody else. Oh, that's the fashion. Well, the stores are selling it, and my phone, my so-and-so wearing it, she's wearing it, he's wearing it, and they're doing it. Oh, well, I gotta run out and get me one. You see, well, nobody's giving me advice in this world. Oh, yes, they are. Simply wearing the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they fix their hair. And see, you've got to understand this counsel, this advice, and this the way they spend their money. It's everywhere. It's counsel. It's advice. Well, they're not coming to you saying, you know what, I think you ought to do this and do this and do this. No, they're just doing it, and you're seeing it. And it's counsel. It's their advice saying, you know what, this works for me. I like this. I'm wearing it. And they don't have to say anything. What they're saying to you is, I like it. It works for me. You ought to try it. They don't have to say a word. They do say a word on TV, though, don't they? Those commercials, all of those things, they're promoting their filth. They're promoting their ungodly. That's why it says counsel of the what? Ungodly. They're promoting their by the way, ungodliness is everything that's against God. Everything that's apart from God. Everything that's separate from God. Everything that is ungodly. God is here and everything else is over here. And they're giving you counsel that this is good. This is good. No, this is right. No, this is right. And they're giving you counsel everywhere you go. Everything you look at, every person you see, the earrings, piercings, tattoos, it's all counsel. Do this. Everybody else is doing it. Do this. Everybody else is doing it. By the way, everybody else is sleeping in on Sunday morning. Everybody else is, everything you do, everything you, everywhere you go, everywhere you see, counsel, advice. It's screaming at you, Ethan. It's screaming at you without saying a word. They spend their money the way they want to spend their money. They pay themselves first. They say, work hard, play hard. They say, you earned it, enjoy it. They say, it's all yours. You made it, you earned it, you worked for it, do what you want with it. It's all advice. And listen to me, when you start walking in their counsel, notice the progression here in verse 1. Don't walk in their counsel. Then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. See, now you're not walking anymore, now you're standing. Notice it says, you start walking in their counsel, you start following their advice, pretty soon you're going to be standing in their way, on their street, in their stores, in their line of work. You're going to be looking like them. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? You're going to be looking like them. You're going to be talking like them. You're going to be going where they go. You're going to be standing in there. It's going to not become something, instead of being a passerby, you're going to become a participant. Instead of being an onlooker, you're going to be on board with them. You understand? Listen to me. Instead of being a casual observer, you're going to become a companion of them, a part of it. You're no longer just walking and seeing their counsel. Now you're standing in their way. That doesn't mean you're standing in their way blocking them. That means you're standing in their way. You're joining them. You're walking down their streets. You're joining them in their actions. Don't walk in their counsel. Don't stand in their way. And then it says, if you don't listen to me on these two steps, pretty soon you'll be sitting in their seats. What does that mean, preacher? That means that it says, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That means you'll be scorning the same things they scorn. You'll be talking, laughing, mocking, scoffing, and scorning me, my preaching, the Bible, my God, just like they do. I would never do that, preacher. Church, listen to me. God knows more than we do. That's right. Amen. People used to sit in this church just like you are tonight. Yeah. And now they're out there, and you mention my name to them, they're going to have some opinions, I promise you. You mention this Bible and this church to them, they're going to have some opinions. And listen, I did not say anything to them different than what I've ever told you. I did not preach anything different. I never said anything to them insulting or otherwise. It was simply the fact they did not separate themselves from the ungodly. And soon enough, they started looking like them. They started acting like them. They started talking like them. And then they started sitting in their seats. They started scorning the same things they were scorning. Oh, that King James Bible-only stuff. Oh, that old-fashioned junk. Oh, that preacher. He's always got to be preaching on this, that, and the other. And they start laughing. Oh, listen, women don't have to wear skirts. Why should women wear skirts anyway? Come on, this is the 2000s. And they start scoffing and scorning. It doesn't matter what men have, how men wear their hair. It doesn't matter how women wear their hair. It doesn't matter if a man marries a man or a woman wears a woman. It doesn't matter. That's all a bunch of old-fashioned gobbledygook. And they scorn and scoff that book. And if you're not careful, if you don't separate yourself, you will be there. You'll be there. You'll be there. You see, and if you think for a minute that that's a prosperous, blessed life, you're just not thinking. That man is not blessed. That man is the ungodly in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They're not so what? They're not blessed. They are like the chaff which the wind blows away. What does that mean? That means they are weak, feeble, frail, double-minded, upside down, one side or the other, unstable as water. That means they don't know what they believe. They believe anything and everything. They fall for everything. They don't know what to believe. They don't care. They're just a bunch of weak, good-for-nothing, sorry, unrighteous, ungodly. They just blow around like the wind. That you can't depend on them. You can't trust them. They're just good for nothing. They're not blessed. Be careful. If you find yourself scorning, scoffing, mocking. Listen to me, church, quickly. I'm hurrying. If you find yourself even thinking that, you're in big trouble. If you find yourself even thinking that what my wife tells you, ladies, about how to dress is stupid or old-fashioned, you're in big trouble. You're walking in their counsel. You're already sitting in their seats. You just hadn't got out of your mouth yet. This is real. I'm telling you, God wants to prosper everything you do. But if you don't separate yourself, it ain't happening. And you say, well, okay, preacher, I understand that. Can I say something to you? Churches aren't preaching that anymore. Churches will not say that anymore because they're afraid to offend anybody because they don't want to run anybody off because they want to have a big crowd, because they want to have more offerings, because they want to have... So instead of preaching, separate yourself, they bring in the ungodliness. They bring in the world's counsel. They follow the world's counsel and they make their church a disco room, a dance hall. They make their church an ungodly association of ungodly people. And that listen to me, there's no way that God's anywhere near that. They're not preaching anymore. They're not teaching anymore. They're not telling. And their children, the kids in that youth group, listen to them, they're getting pregnant at youth group. They're getting pregnant in the bushes behind the church. I'm telling you, it's happening. Because they're not preaching separation. Because they want to have their crowds. And they see thousands of people and they think, oh, we're so blessed of God. They're so wrong. Don't follow their counsel. Don't follow their counsel. Don't follow their advice. Follow God. Follow His Word. Separate yourself from that mess. Say, preacher, how can I? It's everywhere. God thought of that too. He said, I know it's everywhere. It's everywhere you look, like I said. You can't just live in a cave. God does not want us to be monks. In monasteries. Which, by the way, if you know anything about that, they are filthy, wicked people. That's all up front. But I don't have time to go there. The fact is, God knows that it's everywhere. And God says, stay away from it. Don't walk in their counsel. Whatever you do, don't start taking their advice. Before you know it, you'll be sitting in their seats. It's a steady progression downward, by the way. When you're walking, then you're stopping, then you're sitting. See, you're going down. God says, I know, though, that it's everywhere. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the answer to how to separate yourself. Quickly, I'm trying to hurry. The question arises, okay, preacher, it's everywhere. How do I separate myself? Well, notice in verse 2, the very first word, but. But means that you have a choice between 1 and 2. You have a choice between verse 1 and verse 2. In other words, you choose verse 1 to walk in their counsel, to sit in their, to stand in their way. You're going to have no blessings. But if you choose verse 2, you'll have the opposite. In other words, let me give you some examples. You don't go to hell, but you go to heaven because you're saved. See, it's two different complete extremes. You can't have both. You can't go both places. Are you listening to me? You can't go to heaven and hell. You could say, well, he didn't say yes, but he said no. In other words, I can't say yes and no. So the word but means it differentiates between the first phrase and the second phrase. She wasn't born in Mexico, but she was born in America. So you can't be born in two different places. Are you listening to me? The Bible keeps us separated from the world and guarantees us a blessed life as we give. But the world will keep us separated from the Bible and we will never give and never see the blessings. It's two extremes. The but there is a complete separation. You either separate yourself from the world and see the blessings, or you never do. So the but there is telling us, here's how you do it. It's just not, it's not complicated. But this blessed man is separated, and as a result, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The law of the Lord is that book in your lap.
Amen.
Separation is the first step to blessings. The second step, however, must be taken, and that's saturation. That means to saturate your life with the book. That means saturation means to be soaking wet. Okay, and when I pull my car through the drive-thru car wash thing, it gets completely soaked. Bottom, top, front, back, sides. And not all my children like that. My wife don't even like that. She gets nervous in those things. But it's saturated. It's got soap and water, and it's all over the place. So it's what God is saying here is not just to read the Bible, but to delight in it and to meditate in it.
Amen.
It means to delight in it and to meditate on it day and night. It means front, back, bottom, top, left, side. It means that book is everything to you. That book is your delight, your meditation, your daily thought, your daily decisions, everything. That book, and listen, that's the only way you'll stay separated. Listen to me tonight. Turn over to Psalm 119, and let me show you some verses on the Bible to help you examine yourself to see if the Word of God is your delight. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. See, church, listen to me. What if America did indeed become a socialistic, communist country one day down the road? Muslims took over, ISIS took over, and they took your Bible. Listen to me now. How much of it would you have in your heart? How much of it is saturated you? How much of you is saturated with it? How much do you know? How much is in you? Maybe not word for word, but how much is really in you as far as the principles that are taught here? The things that God wants from you. They can take the book away. They can shut down the church doors, but they cannot get it out of my heart.
Amen.
How about you? Are you hiding it in your heart? Because it says right there, if I hide in my heart sin, I will keep myself from sin. That word, if I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. There it is. The Bible helps me stay separated. Oh, see how easy that is? That's only one verse. I got more. Quickly. Same chapter. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Is the Bible really your delight? Let me ask you this. Do you rejoice in this book as much as you rejoice in a raise at work? Now, read it again. I've rejoiced in the way of thy test, the law, as much as in all riches. Now, when I get through with these next few verses here in Psalm 119, you're going to understand why people don't give. You're going to understand why people aren't separated. Because these things are talking directly about the Word of God, and these things are so rare among Christians, it's scary. Does God's Word mean more to you? If you had to choose between God's Word and a raise at work, now it's getting quiet. See, the reason people aren't separated, because they're not saturated. Now, I've got more. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget. Do you even remember what I preached last Sunday night? You don't remember what I preached Wednesday night, because it was like a rapture in here. Nobody was here. Do you remember what I even taught in Sunday school? You see, church, listen to me. It needs to be something that saturates our life. Man. Not just bloop, bloop, out the other. Bloop, bloop, it's gone. It needs to stick. And if you delight in it, you're going to try and do everything you can to remember it. Because if you don't remember it, what good is it going to do? Do you hang on every word? I've got to hurry up. I've got a lot more. Verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Notice that saying? I didn't care what they said about me because I was saturated by your word. Let me ask you something. Do their words bother you? What's it going to take for them to say to finally make you quit coming? You see, that's what the Bible's saying. It didn't just say, you know, Joe Schmo down the street. It said princes. It said people of importance, royalty, were sitting and they were talking about me, laughing at me, making fun of me. And he said, but I did not give up. I did not quit on my God. Why? Because I was meditating on this book. Amen. Because it was in my heart. And so what they said, that's what went in one end out the other, what they said. Because what was stuck here was God's word. Saturated. See, you're not going to be separated until you get this. Because they're talking about you, they're laughing at you, and you're listening to them instead of listening to God. Because you got more their word than you do God's word in your heart. You got more of their counsel than you do good God's counsel in your heart. Let's move on. I've got to hurry. I better just stay up here, because if I don't, I'm going to preach all night. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my, what? Counselor. Okay, so you got a choice. You're going to listen to their counsel or God's. You're going to follow one or the other. You're going to follow one or the other. Let's say again, let's go back to my illustration of asking directions. One person tells me to go that way, another person tells me to go that way. What? Here I am, I need help, and one person's telling me to go left, the other person's telling me to go right. Let's think about this for a minute. One person's got a beer in his hand. He's half drunk, falling over. Another person's got a coat and tie on and just came from church with the King James Bible in his hand. Well, now who am I going to listen to? Well, that's an easy decision. Then why do you listen to the world when God says completely different? Because you haven't learned what I'm telling you. Because you're not separated. Because you're not saturated with God's Word. See, if you don't even read it at home, you ain't saturated. A couple hours at church is not enough. I'm talking about it filling your heart, filling your mind. You say, well, I can't read very well. You let me know. I've got every bit of it on CD. I'll get it in your ears, your eyes, your nose if I have to. Quit making excuses. Amen. You're not going to make it if you don't saturate your life with this book. I've got a lot more. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. The path of thy commandments, the will of God. Make me to stay in your will, because that's where I delight. Do you delight in going to Sunday school? Do you delight in being at church? Or do you delight in soul winning? Do you delight in coming to men's meetings? Do you delight in staying and coming to ladies' meetings? Do you delight to be in the way of God's walk and walk in God's path? If you're saturated with this book, you will. See what I'm talking about? Verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Really, we could boil it down to that right there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love both. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you can't even be friends with the world. Whosoever is a friend with the world is the enemy of God. Listen to me, James chapter 4, verse 4. Saturate yourself with the book. Do you know that verse? Are you going to remember what I just said? James 4, 4. Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Even if you're saved, you put yourself at odds against God. A Christian, how can that? Well, you listen, a son can put himself at odds against his father. Ever been at odds against your dad? So have I, and so have you. That doesn't change your relationship, but you put yourself at odds against him. And you're friends with that world, you're at odds. You're an enemy of God. He doesn't say at odds, he says enemy. In other words, you put yourself there, you put yourself against God. James 4, verse 4. Listen, I'm telling you, does your mind, does your heart, are you saturated with the book? Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me, than thousands of gold and silver. I offered you thousands of dollars. Or I offered you to stay in the will of God. Which would you pick? Some of you looking at me like, well, that doesn't matter. That's never going to happen to me. Listen, it's simply this. A person gets a better job offer somewhere else. They uproot their family. They move somewhere else. And then they decide to look for a church. What's governing their life? The money. What's controlling their money? What's saturating their lives? Money. The love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. That verse right there is deeply convicting. Verse 72. Thousands of gold and silver. That means thousands of dollars offered to you on a silver platter. Here it is. But you're going to have to get out of God's will first. Some of you would get out of God's will for $20. Sadly. Most Christians, it's just a reality. And I'm telling you, that's why, this is important to hear and understand. Separation must come. Separation is the very beginning step. But people are not separated because they're not saturated with this book. They don't know Genesis from Revelation. And I'm not talking about new Christians. I'm not talking about just getting saved yesterday. I'm talking about been in church long enough to know where the books of the Bible are. Folks, I'm not being unkind to you. I'm simply telling you what God has got all over this book. Separation is His will for you. And you can't do it on your own. That's why He says, so therefore, saturate yourself with my word, and I'll do it for you. But you have got to make the decision to saturate your life. And here, these proofs are, I've got a lot more. I'm hurrying. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. See, people get overtaken with afflictions, trials, heartaches, hard times. People can't, listen to me. Let me read that verse to you again. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Well, he went to hell? No, listen to me. He got overcome by the hard times. He could not be faithful to God. Man. I was going to preach this at least two or three sermons, and I probably should have, but a faithful man is hard to find. A man that I can turn to and say, I need you to do this. Can you please help me out on that? Can I depend on you to be there, do this, be that? That's rare. It's rare. God has given us, listen, in this church, we have more faithful men than most churches do that have been around for 30 years. God is blessed. I'm telling you, I told you this morning, God's blessing this church. Amen. Not because of me, but because of this book. Amen. Because we are not going to be associated with that filth out there. We are going to saturate ourselves with this book. And if we don't, and the person that doesn't want to will sooner or later walk out that door, but I'm not going to follow them. They're going to be overcome with afflictions because they will not delight in His Word. And none of us are exceptions to that. None of us, including me. Why do you think I put Scripture out there on the front lawn, if I had a lawn? On the front side. Amen. One day we'll have a lawn, amen? Amen. When the kids can run around and Samuel is going to have to mow the grass. But one day we'll have a lawn. But listen, I put that out there on purpose. I want people to drive by and see the Word of God. I want people to know when they pull in here, this is a church that stands on book. Amen. Amen. Whether they like it or not. If they like it, they'll love it here. If they don't like it, they're going to be gone. And that's just fine with me because their ungodly works of filth are going to bring in influences that are going to damage your children. Right. We're not here to blend in.
Amen.
Whether they offer me thousands of gold and silver or not. Now, nobody's ever done that. Preacher, would you come preach for us, ungodly church? I'll give you $1,000. Well, they haven't done that yet. But if they do, I've got to say no. Here's what I'll do. I'll say, sure I will, but I'm going to preach my King James Bible, and I'm going to preach the truth.
Amen.
And then they probably won't invite me. But that's okay. Because I'm not in it for that, and neither should you be. Amen? Oh, where was I? Here we go. Verse 97. Amen. Oh, how I love thy law. How do I know I love thy law? It is my meditation all the day. I remember when I worked for FedEx, and I worked for Scantron, and after I got saved, I worked for these different companies, and I drove around. I didn't like sitting in an office. I still don't like sitting in an office. Man, I hate that. Just get me out on the street. Brother DeShazer's got the job. Amen. He just drives around. He doesn't have to sit in a desk anywhere, sit at an office. Just get out there and get out there in the fresh air or the rain. But either way, it's not an office desk job. But praise the Lord, ever since I got saved, and ever since God just began to really work in my heart and call me to preach, and of course send me to Bible college and things like that, but you don't have to be a preacher to hear what I'm saying. I just think about this book all the time. My wife and I talk about it at breakfast. My wife and I talk about it at lunch. My wife and I talk about it at supper. My wife and I talk about it when we go to bed. My children and I talk about it. It's what we think about. It's what our minds are filled with. Brother DeShazer and I sit around, we fellowship, and the Bible always comes up.
Amen.
It just always does. It's I love it. It's my meditation all the day. It's what I think about. Is it what you think about all the day? And I promise you, this is under attack. The advice and the counsel of the world is screaming at you to stop, to do this, to go there, to be this, to do that. And it's pumping this filth, this propaganda into your mind. And you have got to fight it by filling your head and your heart with this. And getting away from that. By the way, when you fill your head and your heart with this and that garbage starts pumping in, it's going to offend you. It's going to drive you away from it, not from this, away from it. Are you listening to me? God gives us the answer here. How do I be separated? Saturate yourself. I've got more. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day, not just Sunday. Well, let's see here. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. What do you use to choose which path you're going to take? How you feel that day? What do you use to decide which path you're going to take? What decision you're going to make? The light of the Word of God? Or how you feel and what everybody else says? Are you seeing what I'm saying here tonight? You got to saturate your life. Again, verse 140. 140. It says here, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it." Listen, purity loveth purity. Filth hateth purity. Can I say that again to you? Purity loves purity. Filth hates purity. Just like light loves light, darkness hates light. So, if I'm going to love a book that's pure, by the way, 100% it is every word of God is pure. Every word. We have an every word Bible. We don't need to change it. We need to saturate ourselves with it. Amen. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, I love it. Do you love purity? Well, you will love purity if your life is pure. If you look to be pure, if you want to be pure, children, young ladies, if you want to be pure, then you need to love purity. Young people, if you want to be pure, you need to love purity. And that book is the essence of purity.
Amen.
Is your mind pure? Do you want your mind to be pure? If you do, then this is what you need to fill your mind with. God's word is pure, very pure. What's the difference between very pure and pure? It just means it's above pure, and therefore I love it. I love purity. Filth hates purity. Dirt hates purity. Dirt hates cleanliness. God's people, we ought to be clean in every aspect of our life. Clean. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Again, same thing. I'm not going to let the trouble in this world get me down and take me out. I'm going to delight in God's word. This book is your strength. This book is your hope. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hey, listen. That verse says that I stay up late some nights because I can't get enough of your word. Now, when you stay up late at night, what are you doing? What are you meditating on? The boob tube? That's what they used to call it when I was a kid. The television? The one-eyed monster? Are you looking at stuff on the internet? What are you doing when you stay up all night? What are you reading? Because don't tell me you don't stay up all night, because you drag in Sunday morning looking like you got one eye glued shut with super glue. But listen, it's okay if you tell me, preacher, I was up till 3 o'clock. I was just reading and studying and praying God's word. Ain't nobody ever told me that. I've heard, I was up till 3 o'clock. And I want to say, what were you doing? I don't want to know, I don't think. Because the truth is, they're asleep. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in the preaching. They're just dragging in, dragging out, so the preacher don't get on them or give them a hard time. But when you stay up all night, what are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you looking at? What are you filling your mind with? What are you meditating on? Hey, man, if you stay up all night and read your Bible and pray and spend time with God, okay, I've done it myself. That's fine. Then you'll love God's Word even more the next day.
Amen.
When you stay up all night, what do you do? Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Do you rejoice when you find something in God's word you hadn't seen before? Huh? Do you rejoice when you find something you haven't seen before? Oh, I find great spoil. In other words, I found something that I didn't know was there. Glory to God. I'm having a fit. I'm rejoicing.
Amen.
Verse 163, the next one. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Well, see how this is just going down? This is picking our lives apart. Is it easy for you to lie? See, lying is, oh, it's such a small sin, right? No, it's an abomination.
Amen.
Is it easy for you to tell a lie? It shouldn't be. If this book is, you're saturated with this book, you're lying. Even the smallest lie will just crawl all over you. You'll know that that's wrong. Are you saturated? None of us are enough, are we? Verse 165. Great peace have they which love the television. Great peace have they which love money. Great peace have they which make a whole lot of money. Great peace have they which do whatever they want to do. Great peace have they which do however they feel like doing that day. Everything goes. No, what does that say? Great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. I could preach till I'm blue in the face, stand on my head sideways, and call you everything but Uncle Sam, and it wouldn't offend you. Sort of. As long as it was in the Spirit. Because why? Because you love the book. Amen. That's, listen to me, can I tell you something? Can I just, I know I'm taking too long. Good night. Whoa. We're going to have to camp out here anyway. I forgot what I was going to say now. I want a church like that. I want a church that loves this book. And anything I preach from this book is a blessing. Amen. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. Listen, people come in and they need to, you know, they need to get saved first, obviously, and they need to grow. But I want them to learn to understand that this book is everything, and then they learn to love this book, and then they learn to love the preaching, and then they learn to love the church. They learn to love the, even when God gets all over their heart and their feet and stops on them and their sin, it doesn't offend them. They thank God that He's lovingly, caringly telling them what needs to change in their lives. It doesn't offend them. It's God's law. Okay, let me get right then. And you leave out of here with great peace. That's the kind of church I want. That's the kind of church God wants. That's the kind of church we need. Verse 173, let thine hand help me. For I have chosen thy precepts. When you need help, you always go to the book. But you know what? You'd find a lot more help if you just stay in the book on a regular basis, saturate your life with it, and then the help will be there quicker. The help will be there more. You'll be more assured of it. You'll be more confident in it. You'll have more trust in it. The help is going to come. You need the help to come. But if you don't know where to look, what to read, you don't know anything. Say you're at work and you don't have your Bible with you, and you need help, what are you going to draw from? Are you saturated with it? That's what I'm talking about. You can't always just stop and go pick up your Bible and read it. Sometimes you're just going to have to know what it says and make a decision. Amen. You're going to need help. We all do. I mean, look at me. I need help. You know that? Look at me. You know I need help. I don't need to tell you that. Ask my wife. She knows I need help. That's why God gave her to me. A help meet for me. Amen. But this book is, listen, you're going to need help. The more you know about this, the better off you're going to be, the more help you're going to get. Verse 176, the last verse there says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Boy, 175 verses all about God's Word and what it should be to us and what it should be in our hearts. And then after reading, guess what David says? Oh my soul, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I am not saturated like I'm supposed to be. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He says, Dear God, seek thy servant. He says, I do not forget thy commandments. I know that your book is right. I know that your book is pure. I know that I need your help. And boy, I realize I'm not right. Please, seek thy servant. Please revive my heart. That's what this is saying. I know that I'm not separated like I should be because I'm not saturated like I should be. Please, God, seek me. Revive me. Don't let me fall. Quickly, I'm done. Look in verse chapter 1 again, where I started, verse 3. Separated, but you will never be separated until you're saturated. When you fill your heart, I'm going to say it one more time and then we'll move on. When you fill your heart and your mind with the Bible, the counsel of the ungodly will offend you. It will rub you wrong. You will just absolutely be against it. You will know it's wrong. Otherwise, it's going to suck you right in like a vacuum. You must be separated. The only way to be separated is to saturate yourself. And then once you saturate yourself and separate yourself, then you must stay situated. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Not your leaf, but this man's leaf. See, God doesn't make this promise to everybody. He makes this promise to the man who's separated, saturated. See, God doesn't promise you these things in verse 3 until you get 1 and 2 right. His fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, not you, him, this man, shall prosper. Situated means simply this, planted. Not transient, not tossed to and fro, not up and down, in and out, left and right, but planted, stuck, solid, firmly founded. All of God's blessings are found in verse 3. Once you get separation, saturation right, then you situate yourself right in the middle of God's Word and God's will, and you'll begin to see the fruit, the blossoming leaves, and everything God wants to give you. God's blessings are always found in situation, being rooted and grounded in truth. I don't have time to go through this, but you'll not be situated, like I said, until you're separated and saturated. You need to bloom where God has planted you. Stop looking for greener pastures. God put you in this church. God has you here in this town. Don't look to move somewhere else. Let God move you. Amen. There's a lot of work to be done in this town. God's done a lot of work in your heart already. And there's a lot of people in here tonight that I need to say that to also, but they missed out because they weren't here. Because they're not situated. Now, the sickness, I'm not talking about that. But there's some people that could be here tonight. I'm talking about simply staying put. Stop looking for a different way. Stop looking for a different walk. Stop looking for a different path. Stop looking for greener grass. You know, people jump to the other side of the river because they think the water's sweeter on the other side. It's the same water. Even tonight knows that. The same water. Wife swapping is a disgrace to God. Would you say it? Would you agree with that? Wife swapping is pretty much a sinful, wicked disgrace. Well, church hopping is no different. None of you are church hoppers right now. Oh, but listen to me. You need to realize, situate yourself right here where God planted you. That means stay put. That means let God grow some roots here. Indifference to your church functions is an indifference to God and His Word. Unfaithfulness to your church is unfaithfulness to God and His Word. It's proof. Stop looking for something better. Put down roots where God's placed you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Don't turn there. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Mark it down, look at it later. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. The roots have to go down first before you will be built up and made stronger. Isaiah 37, 31, write it down. It says, the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The root must go down first before the fruit will ever be visible. You will not be as strong. You will only be as strong as your roots. Situated. See, this blessed man, is like a tree planted, situated, stuck in the ground by the rivers of water. Then the fruit, the blossoms begin to come. Then the blessings. Then the whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. No fruit without the root. Mark it down. Transient people, always looking for something else, are never going to be fruitful people, never going to be blessed people, because they're not saturated and because they're not separated. But they won't stay situated. It's being faithful, church. It's being consistent. It's being loyal. It's being dependable, trustworthy. It's being reliable. It's being committed. Divorce rate is about pushing 60% now. And that includes our churches. Why is that? Because of what I'm preaching tonight. Why is it that people go from church to church to church to church, however they feel that day, or not go to church or whatever? Because they're not situated. The blessings are in verse 3. But 1 and 2 come first. I know I've gone long tonight. But you're never going to see what God has for you until you just situate yourself, wait on God, and trust Him. Decide to give what God deserves and expects and just situate yourself there and do it every time. Decide to be faithful and just situate yourself there and do it every time. But you're not going to do it. See, you can't just make yourself do this. You've got to separate and saturate first. Then the situation comes, and man, it's a blessing. You get to see your kids grow up in church. You get to see your children marry godly men or women, depending on what they are. You get to see other kids grow up. I mean, I get to pray with Ricky and Cesar in the Spanish church. Now they always come forward up here to the altar, and they kneel down, and they look back at me like, "Preacher, you coming?" And I go pray with them, and I can't even hear them. But you know, I'm watching those kids grow up. Because their mom and dad, they don't have a big group in there. But their mom and dad realize God worked in their heart. I'm situating myself. God put me here. I'm staying. Amen. Has it been easy? No. But their kids are growing up. Their kids are learning songs. Ricky said today, I grabbed him by the arm. I was just playing with him. I said, "Hey, Ricky, when you grow up, are you going to be a preacher?" He said, "Yeah." And his mom was standing right there. And I said, "Does mom know that?" And she said, "No." "But now I do." She said, "I'm never going to let you forget that the rest of your life, Ricky." But, I mean, you get to see him grow up. You get to watch him change. And you get to watch God call him to preach. And you get, before you know, you get to see him send out as a missionary or go start another church. You just stay put. God is alive. He doesn't work on our timetable. Just stay put. Stay put. Keep praying. Stay put. Wait on God. Trust Him. But you won't trust Him if you keep walking in the counsel of the ungodly without saturating your life with the Word of God. And then situating yourself right there by the rivers of water. Oh, the fruit's coming. But be patient. Wait on the roots. Wait on the roots. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight.